It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. It is Friday, and Steve, you made it. It's great that it is a Friday. I know this is one of your favorite days of the week.
Yep, and we're not even going to talk about 72 hours.
Oh, Mr. Humbug, now. Mr. Humbug. So,
but you expect it.
I know. Well, welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. That other voice is producer Steve, and it is great to have you behind the glass. Thank you to our team, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for all of the great work that you're doing. And thank you to you listeners out there. I'm wishing you a great day. I greatly appreciate you. Be sure and tell your friends about the show. We're getting more and more traction on social media. We're doing all kinds of good things, so be sure and tell people to listen in. If this is too early, there's a couple of other options. They do replay the show here on KLZ 560 from 10 to 11 p.m. And then you can go to my website. It's Kim Munson, that's spelled MONSON.com. And all the show recaps and podcasts are there, and so you can be sure and check that out. If you want to reach me, just email me at kim@kimmunson.com. I'd love to hear from you. So, yes, it is Friday. We've got another great show planned for you today. I'm so excited to talk with Chris Stefanik at the bottom of the hour. He'll be on for segments 3 and 4. He is with Real Life Catholic, and what he is doing with youth is just amazing. And the couple of things that are in his wheelhouse is freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and, you know, this very important movie, No Safe Spaces, which is out there, I saw it last Friday night, talks about the tapping down of freedom of speech. And if we don't have the freedom to say what we want to say, even if it hurts somebody else's feelings, then all the other freedoms that we have here in America are going to go down the toity. And so we want to make sure that we protect freedom of speech and freedom of religion.
Toity?
I don't know. That just came out, Steve. So anyway.
You can tell you're a grandmother.
I guess. Yeah. Yep. I guess you probably can. So actually, in the second segment, Joni Inman is going to be calling in. She is the executive director with the Colorado Women's Alliance. And we're doing a really fun event on Tuesday night. So she'll tell us all about that. I'm actually going to get to MC that. But as we look at these things, each of these issues, it is freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And Steve, as that meme that you found earlier this week of the young woman with a, looked like an AR-15 over her shoulder, and the meme said, you can vote yourself into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out of it. And unfortunately, that's really true. And, you know, that's what happened in Nazi Germany. Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. So when young people are romancing socialism, you need to make sure that they understand what they're really, what's really going on there.
That's a great distinction to be made regarding what Nazi stands for, is because I think people, especially my age, you know, who were already, what, 10 years and beyond post-World War II, think of Nazis as some group of military established people. And yeah, they eventually took on that persona, let's say, because they obviously had to have military force to stand behind them. Otherwise, they couldn't have done what they wanted to do or what they did do. So, you know, today people hear the word Nazis and they only think of the military aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened in terms of the military conquest. Actually, it started a lot before that. What am I trying to say?
Well, it certainly did. And there were things that there actually are some parallels to what's going on in our country. First of all, Hitler, what he ultimately did is he started to define people by groups. So it would be gays, gypsies, Polish, Czechs, Jews. He would define them by groups. And don't you see that happening here in America?
And lay blame at their feet, too.
And lay blame at their feet. And we see that going on in America right now. And so when you look at a group and define people by groups, then you can look at them and then you can actually dehumanize them. And unfortunately, that is happening in America today. Another thing is he basically started to indoctrinate children. And I know that I don't really want to have the whole tin hat thing on, but why on earth do you not think that this radical left that has been voted into office here in Colorado, Governor Polis, why do you think that he is pushing so much for paying for preschool and kindergarten, government paying for that? It's because they want to, I believe, indoctrinate our children. So the question on the table is,
That and vote buying, yes, but continue.
Okay, so the question on the table is do you think that they really care about children?
And
no. Okay, and so when it's okay, like 3 years earlier, to abort a child because we have late-term abortions here in Colorado, I don't think you really care about kids if that's what's going on. But yet here, you know, if they're 2, 3, 4, 5, they say, oh, we want to help, we want to take care of children, and it just doesn't pass the mustard test here.
It's funny because just recently, or it's literally happening this week, there is at the national level legislation regarding animal cruelty, which is great. That's fine. But it didn't take the pro-life movement long to connect these two thoughts. It's like you want to protect animals, but yet at the same time, you're killing babies.
Yeah, it doesn't match up.
The war that started on Facebook with those two thoughts, it's incredible.
You know, somebody said, I think it might have been Dennis Prager. I heard him say this. I won't give credit because I'm not totally sure. But he said that people that love animals don't always love children. But people that love children also love animals. I think that's pretty powerful.
It is.
So I kind of got off on a tangent here without even getting through all the things that I normally do.
Okay, carry on.
Oh, carry on. So as we are looking at Colorado, we are continuing to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, communications, data. And that is why we need to make sure that we are shedding light on this. And then we need to engage in the battle of ideas of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Because if something is a really good idea, you shouldn't have to force it.
Don't forget about our friend at the Bell Policy Center.
That's tongue in cheek.
He's going to call you an alarmist.
An alarmist. That's true.
Shame on you.
Yeah. And Bell. And if you missed the show yesterday, Steve had found a comment. I guess it was on one of the news articles that we had brought out. And that is the ink wasn't even dry on the results on this particular election. And those that want to take down Tabor are Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And Prop CC went down in flames. But they are ready to go after Tabor full force next year, and they also want to put in a graduated income tax. So what that means is that people that work harder, that put in more hours, that become more successful, are going to be penalized for doing so.
You know, I can't believe how quickly you can be drawn into the trenches of warfare. Westward posted a link to an article on their publication, on their website, what went wrong with CC. And I just did a one-liner response. It's like, nothing went wrong with CC. The taxpayers are just getting smarter. And boy, did I open up a rat's nest.
Did you? So you were a little active on Facebook yesterday, huh?
Well, you know.
But you know what? You need to engage in these conversations, and you need to keep it respectful. But realize, see, there's a lot of people that are watching that back and forth. And it's important to engage in a respectful manner. And the other thing is you can engage because you understand this whole issue. So when people only know a little bit of it, you can shed light on what was really going on.
Well, yeah, that seems to be our charter here in doing what we do. So we do it with great gusto.
That we do. So, again, No Safe Spaces is showing at a number of Colorado theaters this weekend. Go to nosafespaces.com and find out where you can go see that movie. It's very important to show support for this movie. So go to nosafespaces.com and check that out. And then Monday is Veterans Day, and one of my valued sponsors, Hooters Restaurants, is actually all military, active veterans and active duty military can choose from some very yummy and different entrees, and you can eat free. on anytime on Monday, which is Veterans Day. It's pretty darn cool. So
you've got to get to the funnies. Please get to the funnies.
Okay. Well, then Benjamin Franklin. Do you think I need to describe who he is, or do you think most people understand who Benjamin Franklin is?
Let's go with the latter.
Okay. He says, without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. There you have it. Okay, the funnies. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Okay.
I want to see you do it with a straight face. Go ahead.
Okay. When asked if they would have sex with Bill Clinton, 86% of women in D.C. said, not again.
What difference at this point does it make?
That was, guess who that was?
I think that was Hillary Clinton,
wasn't
it? It
was, but what difference does it make?
I know. Actually, I know in some ways it's not really a laughing matter because it looks like he actually was a real predator. You know, there was certainly consensual situations, but I think there was kind of non-consensual situations as well. And the left turned a blind eye. You know, back when women came out and brought forth these allegations, Hillary Clinton went after them. The media, you know, went out and chastised them and made them look bad. And so I think the truth actually is going to be coming out this next year.
The vast right-wing conspiracy. Yes.
That's
maybe
right.
We can talk about that on Monday.
Yeah, let's do that. So we're going to go through these, some articles, but the first one is Denver voters give the city its own transportation department. It looks like voters chose to create the Denver Department of Transportation and Infrastructure on Tuesday, giving walking, biking, and transit an elevated role in the city bureaucracy while paving the way for city-owned transit systems. The vote was not close. The charter change measure earned more than 73% of the vote. And for decades, transportation has been a division within the Denver Department of Public Works. Starting January 1, streets will be a cabinet-level concern like the airport and city planning, with an executive director who reports directly to the mayor. Ultimately, first of all, then maybe we should just get rid of RTD.
Well, I have a good friend who works at another station, and he and I, whenever a story popped up, we would alert one another because we had this thing called the Department of Redundancy Department. And that was my first thought when I saw this pop up on the news feed, you know, that Patty sends us. Why? It seems to be an end around RTD.
And RTD, as we know, is subsidized to the tune of about $684 million. So, you know, I think, Steve, this beautiful city, when I moved here, I loved Denver. What is going to happen to this city is it actually breaks my heart. If you go down, sometimes, let's see, if you go down, I think it's Emerson, and right there at Emerson and Colfax, you can look over to the left, and there is a building, and I need to see what building it is, but there is a big mural, and it has a mural of it has a street, and then it has people that are walking on the street. I don't think that there is a car. There is bikers or whatever, and it says, streets are for people. It's like, wait a minute, I thought streets were for cars. And what are cars? Cars give people the freedom of mobility to go where they want to, when they want to. And here in Denver, we are seeing a bureaucracy. We're seeing politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that want to get people out of their cars, and they want to take away that freedom of mobility. And when you look at the roads out there, you know, again, we talk about the Overton window where you see different news articles, you see the media starting to try to move people's opinions. And there was a news piece that Patty had found within the last week or so that said that there had been a study or a survey that said 83% of people surveyed here in the metro area said that they were in favor of light rail and I think other commuter rail. And you know what? That just really doesn't pass the mustard test, because when you look out the window, you don't see 83% of the people on the trains or on the buses. I see empty buses. I see empty trains when I drive over here. And I see people who are in their cars, going to work, taking their kids to school on their schedule, not on the politicians, bureaucrats, and interested party schedule. And so we've got to get our brain around this and get this train slowed down, Steve. We got to get this train slowed down.
especially the one with no people on it.
You got it. So, hey, this is the Kim Munson Show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, I think I'll be talking with Joni Inman about her great event this next Tuesday night. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. It's my party
and I'll cry if I want to. Sometimes when I go through some of these headlines, I do want to cry, but I guess it is our party. It's our show. And to that, I've thought about it, Steve. I was up at Tapas and Topics up at the North one in Northwest Denver last night, and one of the girls said, Kim, you don't have a contribution button on your website. She said, because do you still buy all your time? And I said, oh, I do. So my sponsors are so important. And I said, we'll get on that because in order to make all this work, it certainly takes a lot to keep the lights on. And so I thought once a week, I want to make sure that I verbally say thank you to each of these valued sponsors. And that's Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance, Jason McBride, John Buckingham, all of those over at Presidential Wealth Management, Hooters Restaurants, Susan Kochevar, the historic 88 Drive-In Theater, the Harris Family, Liberty Oilfield Services, Jay Davidson, First American State Bank, Lauren Levy with all those mortgage questions at Polygon Mortgage, Water's Edge Winery, Liberty Toastmasters, and Chris Cantwell. I value all of these, and if you would like to talk to me about being one of my partners, I'd love to have a conversation with you as well. So let's jump over here with Joni Inman. Joni is the executive director of the Colorado Women's Alliance and does amazing work. Saw you last night, Joni, up at the Tapas and Topics up in Northwest Denver. It was great to see you.
It was great to see you, Kim, and I am amazed at how wide awake and energetic you are this morning.
It's called coffee.
I've got it right in front of me. It's not working that well.
Yeah, by IV, that's right. So, Joni, you do so much out there. I mean, I can't believe, sometimes I think your Superwoman cape must get caught in the car door because you do so much. But Tuesday night, there's going to be a really fun event that you are organizing, and I get to be the MC. So tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. The Colorado Women's Alliance, just briefly, is a nonprofit organization that focuses on the issues of importance to female voters. And we're pleased to have you on our advisory council, Kim. And part of what goes along with me knowing you is that I rope you into things like emceeing this event on Tuesday night. Tuesday night we have an event called Wine and Wine Down with Mandy Connell and the Women of the Airwaves. And it's really just a deep sigh event getting together to celebrate that at least one crazy election session is over. And we're going to have just a little bit of fun. We're going to have wine and a little bit of food, and we're going to talk about the crazy moments in the election season. It's a brief panel discussion. Mandy Connell of KOA Radio, which I'm sure your listeners know Mandy, is the keynote. You're emceeing, and Krista Kafer, who your listeners will probably also recognize, is what I'm calling the provocateur that evening. So she's going to be poking and prodding and getting some of the fun stories out of Mandy Connell that night. We will be at the historic Montfort Company's headquarters at 1962 Blake Street, and it's very limited. We have very limited tickets available, so I encourage your listeners to go today to get them. You can go to Eventbrite and search for Wine and Wind Down, or you can go to the Colorado Women's Alliance website at coloradowomensalliance.org and get the tickets there. It's very affordable, $35. So we'd love to have your listeners come out. Men and women, by the way, this is not, Colorado Women's Alliance is never a women's only event. We welcome and embrace men and women.
Well, I think it'll be a lot of fun, and that is this next Tuesday night. And one more time, Joni, where can people go for tickets?
ColoradoWomensAlliance.org and hit the events button, or just Eventbrite, Wine and Wind Down.
Okay, and so that's Tuesday night. So be there or be square, right?
Tuesday night. And if you want to meet Kim in person, this is your opportunity.
That's for sure. So it'll be just great. So I'll see you on Tuesday, Joni. Thanks so much for giving us the information on that.
Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay, and Steve, let's go back. I need to go back to this article and when Patty goes through and is looking for all of this research, and also when I'm looking for things, the first place I go is Complete Colorado. You know what? I didn't have Complete Colorado on that list. I need to add them on there as well as one of my valued sponsors. What you can do is go to Complete Colorado, and it'll aggregate. They aggregate news from all over the state, so you have these quick headlines. So it tells you what's going on throughout the state, and then if you click on the banner ad there at the very top, there is it'll take you to all of the original content. But, Steve, I want to go to this very last paragraph in this article, and this was in Denverite.com. Our transportation and mobility system must provide multiple ways to get around town for all people. A system that connects neighborhoods, provides access and not barriers. Wait a minute. What about South Broadway? Isn't there barriers to cars down there where they took out a whole lane for bike paths and then they're going to take out a whole lane for buses? Isn't that a barrier? But anyway, I digress. And creates unique places, Mayor Hancock said in a statement. To do that, our city streets need to change to accommodate more transit riders, bike riders, and pedestrians. By passing 2A, Denver voters tonight took an important step towards modernizing mobility in Denver. So is it more modern now to have to ride on a bus, to ride on your bike, or to walk someplace? Is that more modern, or isn't that what people used to do in the olden days before we got into a modern society?
I'd encourage Mayor Hancock to drive down South Broadway someday. Obviously, he hasn't done it recently.
You know, and the other thing about it is these people that make these rules and these regulations, of course, I can't believe the people of Denver voted this in. I honestly cannot believe that they voted it in. I guess you could say he asked them.
Well, look at the flowery language that the thing was couched in. Why not? It sounds so good.
But do these people really, when was the last time you saw Mayor Hancock on a bike riding around trying to get down to down to City Hall?
I can't tell you when.
How about Governor Polis? Do you see him riding around on a bike? No, they are in cars with drivers. Many of these elected, I'm going to say politicians, PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, they have special parking passes to go downtown and park. Many times when you see those hooded parking meters, that means that they are being reserved for somebody with a special pass that can actually park there. And so if PBIs are so interested in making us walk and ride around on our bikes, and I love riding on my bike, but it just doesn't work for, it's more for recreation instead of trying to get in here to the station or ride on buses, then how about, let's say, you first? You like that? Oh, yeah, I guess you're speechless on that one, Steve. So we have Jason McBride on the, Jason McBride.
I'm here.
Okay, are you going to ride your bike into work today?
That would be a little far. I do have a joke for you, though, along this line.
What is that?
Do you know what socialists use for heat and light before they switch to candles?
What?
Electricity.
That's not so funny out in California, Jason.
Well, I know, but you were talking about progressivism. I just wanted to add my piece.
Well, it's truer than it's some of this stuff. It's not that funny because we're headed that way. I mean, you look at California, and there was the meme that said, "Welcome to California," where we force you to drive an electric car and then we turn the electricity off. I think either you or Steve sent that to me.
But I didn't. It must have been Steve.
Must have been Steve, yes. So, but Jason, we are going to be talking with Chris Stefanik. Is it Stefanik or Stefanik? Now I have it.
Stefanik.
Stefanik, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you helped make that connection, and he is with Real Life Catholic, and he's doing amazing things with young people here today in America today. But he's the things he really cares about is freedom of speech and freedom of religion. So we're going to chat with him about that in segments 3 and 4. But you sent me an article from the Epoch Times the other day that was pretty timely right after we both saw the movie No Safe Spaces. And to settle a civil rights lawsuit that was backed by the Trump administration, the University of Michigan has agreed to change politically correct policies that were alleged to have chilled students' free speech on campus.
That's right. It makes me think maybe the pendulum's starting to swing back to normalcy. But I'll tell you, Kim, there was one line in that lawsuit from the plaintiff side that I thought very eloquently but simply defined the problem. And it said, under this regime, the most sensitive student on campus effectively dictates the terms under which others may speak.
And, you know, we also have seen this in America, in Colorado today, that people say, I'm offended, and then it just shuts down the conversation. We're in a very dangerous time right now, Jason.
Well, we are. If we're to the point where if one person gets offended by something and then it gets eliminated pretty soon, well, we might as well just adapt and evolve, and we'll be born without vocal cords.
You know, Jason, I did a speech once on everything
I learned. I'm sure that went over well.
Everything I learned about freedom, I learned on the playground in elementary school. Do you remember if somebody came up and told you to do something, you say, you're not the boss of me.
Yeah.
Or they might say, or you might say, it's my property. Or sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And now we hear all this, my child was bullied, my child is a victim. And we need to get back to all those freedom words that we learned in second grade.
Yeah, most of the time the problem with me was on the playground is, you know, I was telling the teacher, you're not the boss of me, and then I got in trouble. I was kind of an ornery kid.
I could see that happening. So, but hey, unrelated but also important, the markets hit new highs yesterday. There was a lot of rumbling about tariffs being rolled back. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, there were headlines that China and the U.S. had agreed to roll back some tariffs in preparation for the possible signing of phase one of a trade deal. And the markets really like that, and the Dow was up almost 300 points early, but disagreement about whether that was reality kind of chilled the gains a little bit by the end of the day, Kim.
So that was Trump's fault, right?
Oh, everything is, you bet. The leftist side of the media spun it as Trump caving into the Chinese. The administration hawks that think they know more than Trump does said that he won't budge, and the cynics pointed out that that's how China negotiates, agree to a handshake deal, then backtrack and try to renegotiate along the way. But, you know, Kim, that's pretty normal in any deal-making scenario, so I don't think yesterday's events were anything much out of the ordinary.
And the market still ended up pretty good, right?
You know, they did, but they closed near the bottom of the trading range for the day. So some sellers came in and sold some of the higher prices. And honestly, Kim, that's not really too surprising. The markets have moved up 8 to 10% just in the last 5 weeks. A lot of the leading stocks have gone up even more than that. So, you know, a little bit of profit taking here is just kind of par for the course, if you ask me.
Okay. Love that you're watching that. And one other thing I forgot to ask, do you have any of those very cool stock traders' almanacs left?
You know, I do have a few left, and they're still free for the asking, Kim.
And so I bet if people go to Air Presidential, that's AIR Presidential.com, You can get some information about it there or give Natalie a call. She's there at the switchboard at 730-303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And be one of the ones to get one of those very cool Stock Traders almanacs. I have mine. Thank you very much, Jason McBride. Greatly appreciate it.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend, Kim, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Sounds like a plan. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Chris Stefanik is on the line. He is with Real Life Catholic and does amazing things with youth in America today. And we'll be talking about freedom of speech and freedom of religion. These are two things that are so important to Chris. So stay tuned. This is the Kim Munson Show.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
'Cause now it's Judy's turn to cry. Judy's turn to cry.
Whoops. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. The music is just, it's great today, so... I am thrilled to have on the line with me and to have a conversation with Chris Stefanik. And actually, Jason McBride introduced us. Chris, it's great to have you on the line.
Great to be on and an honor to be introduced by a guy like Jason.
Yes. And did you found Real Life Catholic?
Yeah, that's right. And I travel the world and give talks around the country at big renewal events and have a TV show. And I've spoken in some college campuses. Yeah, just kind of doing a lot of everything, but very uplifting, beautiful work that helps people find the lives they're made for in their faith.
And is it primarily students, or do you also speak with adults as well?
Oh, but mostly adults, but all ages. I have a lot of young people coming to our events and college students as well. So there's a cross-generational reach of our work. A lot of millennials, a lot of iGen as well.
Okay. And if you go to Real Life Catholic, there's a lot of great information there. But I also noticed, and this wasn't what we were going to talk about, but you have something for men as well. I mean, I am so concerned about what the narrative is out there in our culture regarding men men and boys. And I guess it is related to the freedom of religion and freedom of speech, but I really see our society that people are really going after our young men, and it breaks my heart.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, I have a 30-day challenge for men to help them find their true identity and to live it out, you know, boldly, and to live that life they're made for as men of God. But yeah, one of the guys who actually filmed the program with me, he was telling a friend about it, and he said, yeah, it's about reclaiming masculinity. And he said, I don't mean like toxic masculinity. And as I heard him say that, I realized, wow, people actually automatically insert the word toxic in front of masculinity today. How tragic is that?
It is really tragic.
We're living in a world where we're constantly telling people to find themselves, to be themselves. But there's this odd shaming happening if you're just living out who you are as a man. And that's a whole lot of people who are, there's a strange repression going on. But yeah, this should be something that we rejoice in, that we just claim and live with the particular power and blessing that God gave us as men.
Okay, so go to your website, and you know what? I'm trying to click on Rise at the 30-day challenge, and somehow that's not working. But it is there at Real Life Catholic, and you can go ahead and sign up, I'm sure. But you might want to check that link. It's probably operator error on my part. But let's jump into these subjects of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Which one do you want to address first?
Let's hit freedom of religion. I mean, frankly, freedom of speech and freedom of religion are married. They really are. I mean, they're both rooted in that idea that the church and state are separated, not because the state should be able to suppress the church or control religion, but because our fundamental rights as human beings don't come from the state, but from God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created. I mean, that's the foundation of the rights that we have. And it's amazing how separation of church and state has come to mean the exact opposite of what the founding fathers intended. If you read the Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The First Amendment to the Constitution. That was put in place not so that the state could put strict parameters around our religious practice, around our religious belief, but it was written to say that the state needs to stay away from us when it comes to what we believe. So we've come to absolutely reverse the meaning of that and limit it more and more as time goes on. Under President Obama, we saw a change of speech that's never been implemented before, where he didn't refer to freedom of religion. He frequently referred to a phrase that he drummed up, freedom of worship.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And, right? That was really intentional and really insidious. Freedom of worship would mean you're able to worship God behind the locked doors of your church. That religion is purely private. Now, any person of real faith knows that if their faith informs nothing more than what they do behind the walls of a church. It doesn't inform how they run their business. It doesn't inform the public policies they push for. It doesn't inform their relationship with their spouse. It doesn't inform their friendships, how they spend their money. That's not a real faith, right?
You know, and
that,
I...
That's, go ahead.
Well, I want to make another point on that. I've said this before, but as you were saying this, I really believe this. That what has happened, I mean, we are seeing the Constitution and this vision of America that was put out in the Declaration. We have seen the radical left take those words and they have twisted them. And so when we said separation of church and state, and that is not in the Constitution, that was Jefferson. He wrote that to the Danbury Baptist Church to assure them that they would have freedom and not be forced into a government religion, if you will. But if we say, Chris, that religion is a belief system, would we all agree that might be a definition of religion? It is a belief system. And that,
yes,
that in the Constitution it says that government shall make no establishment of religion. So here we have then establishment of a belief system. And then when we look at public policy today, this belief system that of climate change and environmentalism, I believe, is a belief system that is totally connected with government. And that is a totally antithetical to the First Amendment. Now, I know that's a little bit off in the weeds, but I really think that we are using public policy to push forward this belief system in our schools, in our culture. And that was exactly what the founders did not want to have happen.
That's right. I mean, man is inherently a believing creature, and obviously I mean man and woman. Human beings, we're believing creatures. Everything that we know is based on premises that we just hold to be self-evident. Whether you're a believing Christian or a quote, believing atheist, there are certain things that an atheist in his worldview can't definitively prove or disprove, but he holds these premises in his life as his fundamental worldview. So there's this idea that a purely secularized state that keeps religion out is purely rational. It's ridiculous. All people bring their belief systems to everything they do. And some people say, well, you can't legislate religion. Yeah, I would agree. We don't want a theocracy, and we're not going to push for a mandatory compulsory church attendance on Sunday. However, every law is the legislation of someone's morality, of someone's belief system, and how they've seen the world and how that influences their public policies. And that's healthy. That's healthy to have a society where people could disagree and bring all these things to the table, and no one's disqualified for their belief system. Speaking of Thomas Jefferson, who talked about the separation of church and state, he said, "Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift of God?" All the founding fathers, their faith informed how they did government, how they built this country. The Lincoln Memorial quotes his Gettysburg Address. "This nation under God," he's the one that said this nation under God, "should have a new birth of freedom." Andrew Jackson, he said, "The Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests." In the Supreme Court building, there's a statue of Moses with the Ten Commandments. I mean, God is all over the place. Faith is all over the place. So it's, and again, it's not like we're pushing for a theocracy. And I think people fear this. I mean, of course, you remember in the 1950s when the United States was primarily a Christian nation, and that was the mainstream. You remember how the government forced people to go to church, right? That was happening.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. You remember how Christians would drive an hour and a half out of their way to find an atheist baker to write a cake that says Jesus is Lord on it so that he can ruin that person's business. Remember how that happened in the 50s?
I missed it.
Yeah, it didn't happen. The more we scrub religion out of society and treat religion as if it's a threat, the more overbearing government gets, because we lose our bearings and forget that our fundamental rights to be who we are don't come from the government. They're not gifts to us from other people. They come from God.
They come from who we are as people. This is such a fascinating conversation. Chris, let's continue this. Let's go to break. And when we come back, I have Chris Stefanik on the line. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic, doing such important work out there in the culture wars. And so this is the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, thrilled to be having a conversation with the founder of Real Life Catholic, Chris Stefanik, about some very important issues. I mean, they're number one in the Bill of Rights that's in the U.S. Constitution, and that is freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And Chris, you know, it seems like that the narrative out there is that not really that religion is dangerous, but that Christianity is dangerous. How would you address that?
Well, yeah, that's something I hear all the time in my ministry. You know, people have told me countless times, how do you explain that religion is responsible for all the wars in history? Like, huh, what an absolutely ignorant view of history that is. You know, in their exhaustive survey of the wars of history, Alan Axelrod and Charles Phillips wrote in the Encyclopedia of Wars that they studied all the wars in history, found that less than 7% of wars could credibly be blamed on religion. It's simply not true, that narrative that religion leads inherently to violence. Now, people believe that because they think that religion is inherently irrational. And any person of faith knows it's not irrational at all. Now, we have different premises that we approach life on that are different than the premises that atheists hold to be self-evident, that they think are obviously true, though they can't prove them using the scientific method. But they think that we're inherently irrational, and because we're irrational, they suppose that when two people who are irrational who are meeting, they're not going to have a conversation. What they have is a war. Two irrational forces just have to do violence upon each other to see which one wins. So then that narrative, it spins into this state that tries to keep religion in line. See, the state's supposed to keep things peaceful and well-ordered, so a primary job of the state would have to be telling people of faith, you have freedom of worship. You keep it behind the doors of your church. Don't you dare bring that to the public sphere because of this presumption that it'll lead to violence. But that presumption is simply not true. I mean, not only throughout the wars of history, but also in our own lives. I mean, we all know people of deep faith. I keep trying to find these violent and mean and angry, bigoted, hateful Christians, and I just can't find them. Where are they? I've been doing ministry for years and years. I mean, yeah, you'll occasionally see the news hone in on somebody at a military funeral with signs that say "gays go to hell," right? You name it. And there's a couple fringe groups that don't only have certain beliefs, but are really angry about them and really mean in the way they communicate their beliefs. But that's almost no Christians I've even met.
Well, and I would ask really if that is really Christian when you see those kinds of things, because there's no compassion.
Is.
There's no compassion in that. Having compassion with people, though, Chris. This is tricky. Having compassion. Okay, we're all fallen beings, right? We all have our own stuff. And so when we judge others, like what you just described there, I don't think that is Christianity. However, we're fallen beings. We want to strive to do our best, but we need to react with compassion. But that doesn't mean that it's a free pass on society either, right? I mean, how do you address that, Chris Stefanik?
We can judge actions, but not people. Judging people is way above our pay grade.
Okay.
We have to judge actions, though. This is what sets us apart from the apes. This is what tells us how to act. I mean, one of the things that sets human beings apart is that we consider the moral quality of different actions. But judging actions doesn't mean you're hateful, bigoted, and judge people. And this is how those who judge actions are treated. That if you have any moral code, if you're a, quote, conservative, that they treat you as if you're closed-minded, angry, hurtful, bigoted. You think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. I mean, she was very, I hate using words like traditionalist or conservative, but she would fit the bill according to a lot of people's definitions. She definitely believed Jesus is Lord of the universe, that if people who disagree with that are wrong, she didn't think this is true for me, you're never going to find a video of Mother Teresa coming out of her beating up a Hindu or mocking them for their faith in some slum of Calcutta. No, she spent her entire life serving Hindus, people she disagreed with. I mean, we have no problem, or a Christian should have no problem, loving, serving, coexisting with people that disagree with. The irony is that people who are treating Christianity as a threat more and more have a problem coexisting, even though they're preaching coexistence all the time.
Yeah, and you know, that is so interesting you would bring up that word, because when I first started to see the bumper stickers of coexist, you know, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, but then I'm like, well, wait a minute, we have been coexisting. I mean, look at America. Yeah. America is a melting pot. We have welcomed people here. America was founded on these, as you mentioned, the Christian tenets of, and I mean, that runs through all of the founding documents. And if people really would do their research on the founders. They were imperfect guys, but yet I think that they were divinely inspired when they founded this country on this idea that all men are created equal and they have these inherent rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And they said, what would happen if we actually created a country that was based on the idea that we would protect these rights of everyday people to be able to have their life, their liberty, and their pursuit of happiness? And you got America. And it's astounding to me that we have in the narrative out there, in the culture, that is trying to tear all this down. And when our young people actually have the books open to them, we've been doing the study of the Federalist Papers, to see what the real idea of America was. I had a young mom say, I had a public education. I feel like I was lied to. And that's why the work that you're doing, Chris Stefanik, with the Real Life Catholic is so important.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we take a lot of these things for granted that we live with. The idea that human beings have inherent worth and value and dignity. That's where the idea of democracy comes from, or representative republic comes from. And those ideas didn't just arise from thin air. They didn't come from a barbaric world. They didn't come from most of our own countries, the history of those countries, the deep history before Christian missionaries got there. They were not cultures that respected human dignity. Now, there's no doubt that throughout the Judeo-Christian history, that there have been intolerant, mean, and brutal people, because people in general are a bad lot, right? There's a whole lot of bad seeds among us. But these ideas that we have that make America beautiful, that make America great, they're profoundly rooted in the Judeo-Christian ethic and worldview. So thank God that when this country was founded, we didn't have people with this misunderstanding of a separation of church and state, that don't you dare let your religious principles form what you do in public policy. I mean, gosh, could you imagine if that crazy idea guided, you know, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.? The Reverend did not march on D.C. as a secular humanist. He was there as a preacher of the gospel. That's what he was doing. Well, and he brought all those principles to bear in what he was pushing for.
Well, and to that point, you know, his famous I Have a Dream speech, where he said, I dream of a time where my little children will be judged on the content of their character instead of the color of their skin. And we were making great progress in America, I think, on race relations. Things weren't perfect, but, you know, we were making great progress. And within the last, you know, we've moved back. Let me just put it that way. Under the Barack Obama administration, they moved to identify people as groups. That what this, you know, this pigment, this covering that we have on us defines us. And I don't buy that, Chris Stefanik. I say what defines us is what's inside of us and our souls. Right. And this idea that we are defining people in groups is absolutely terrifying, because America was founded on the idea that individuals were inherently valuable and that they had these rights.
That's right. Yeah, and the end game that you see pushing a lot of these ideologies that are prominent on college campuses now, it doesn't unite anybody. The end game is endless dissolution. I mean, it's a dismantling of society. It's a dismantling of all that unites us. It's a dismantling of that common table where we can come together and bring our fundamental belief systems, and everybody's welcome at that table and can have intelligent discussions and debates. That's what society is about. We don't have a common table anymore. We have silos that are all separated by our own feelings, by our own egos, because, well, I mean, separation of church and state, right?
Yep. Well, words and ideas, Chris, this is where the real battle is. And words and ideas, you have to take the time to get your brain around this. There's this constant barrage of all these things competing, you know, for your attention in your mind. And so you need to get to a point where you're disciplined to, and I really think daily scripture reading is really, really important. Daily devotions are really, really important. And words and ideas really matter. And I just wanted to mention, we talked about this the other day, but tomorrow, November 9th, is the 30-year anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. And Ronald Reagan said, tear down this wall, and it came down without having to shoot their way out of it. And
isn't that a miracle?
It's a miracle. It is a miracle.
I'll get chills thinking about it.
I did too. I did too. So
yeah.
We have just about a minute. Chris Stefanik, what a great conversation. I hope that you'll come back. We have to continue these kinds of conversations. What is your final thought? And again, your website.
RealLifeCatholic.com is the website. Final thought. You know, when I think of the Berlin Wall, yeah, faith was an absolutely essential part of the crumbling of communism in Eastern Europe. It was the Solidarity Movement. John Paul II, when he was Pope, went back to Poland. They were being repressed by communists. 3 million Poles came out to greet him. 3 million. And the communists were literally shaking as they stood there with their machine guns because the 3 million people who were there in Victory Square in Warsaw were chanting, "We want God." And they knew what that meant. It meant we are not the absolutes. We are not God as leaders of the state. There's a higher authority. And that's what religion brings to bear. And I think it's partly why the state gets so nervous about us letting our faith inform everything we do, because it says that there's a higher authority than you. The state isn't the source of our rights. We believe in God. That's the source of our rights.
And each individual has inherent rights. And you can
Everybody.
Just take a look.
Even those who don't believe in God.
You got it. Because you can just take a look at the cross, the empty cross, and you realize that that's empty for each and every individual out there. And that is what's so beautiful about both the Christian faith and the American idea is the value of the individual. And that each individual, no matter their belief system, has rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Chris Stefanik, Real Life Catholic, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great to have him on. And Benjamin Franklin said, "Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.